Hi there. This is Eileen Giles, your GSA Proposal Maven. And you can find me at gsaproposalmaven.com. I first would like to thank you for attending the teleclass, understanding GSA schedules, as well as congratulate you in taking the first step in learning about the GSA program and how it can benefit your business. This is not a class participation type of forum, so I want to get that out in the open. It's just me talking to you about the GSA federal program. So you can put up your feet, have a cup of coffee or tea or whatever tickles your fancy. Let me start out by telling you a bit about myself and what it is that I do. I am a former GSA contract specialist who worked for GSA in the contracting department. I have worked in federal contracts for 20-plus years before resigning in 2006. I worked in the Washington, D.C. and Arlington, Virginia offices, managing, reviewing, and awarding GSA schedules in excess of $20 million. While I was there, I decided to step out on my own and assist contractors because, as a contract specialist, I noticed there wasn't sufficient guidance for contractors in dealing with GSA contracts and its processes. In that position, I witnessed contractors either mismanage their contracts once they received it or have their proposal submission continually rejected because they didn't know what the key was in obtaining a GSA contract award. During that time, I decided that when I leave, I wanted to create a business that provides helpful tools and information, as well as guidance that contractors can understand and use in layman's terms. So with that, I've taken the knowledge that I've acquired within GSA, and I built a team of strong people, mostly former GSA contracting officers, and contract specialists that I believe can assist with clients with anything having to do with GSA contracts. Now that I've told you a little bit about myself, I want to get into some of the housekeeping roles. And if you hear the beep going on as I'm speaking, that's people clocking in or calling into the call. So now let's get on the housekeeping roles for this call. There's going to be a lot of information that will be said, and I want everyone to receive it. So I've purposely muted out everyone, which means that you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Everyone will receive a recording of the class if you haven't done so. Well, actually, you'll receive it afterwards. So if you have to leave for any reason, you won't miss anything. You can just click on the recording once you receive it. Also, for the listeners that have questions, an email was sent earlier for you to ask any questions that you may have so that I can address the questions after the class presentation. Some of the types of people that register for this class are vendors who have interest in getting a contract and they want to know more information about GSA and the program. So what you're going to learn today is a better understanding of the GSA schedule program and its processes. You'll also be able to determine if you want to move to the next step in applying for a GSA contract. Now, enough of the small talk. Let's get down to business. Let's see. Now, a GSA contract is what some contractors consider a hot ticket in federal business. Unfortunately, the contract is not a hot ticket for every business that's interested. Getting a GSA contract is not mandatory, but it does make it easier for business for your business to get your foot in the door for federal business. This particular program that GSA has put together is great, but it's made for the business that has the right fit. So that's why I like to get out and educate vendors first before they decide to take the step because, you know, it just takes a lot of money and a lot of time, and then you find out later on, hey, it's not even suiting me. So I want to give you the basics, give you what it is that you need to know so you can make a decision as to if you want to move to the next step, and more than likely you'll know by the end of this class. Now, who is GSA? GSA is a government agency established to support acquisition and management of government resources for all federal agencies. So that means GSA handles the procurement of goods and services for all of the federal agencies worldwide, and they are largely known for their multiple award schedules program. There are several titles for the schedules program, such as multiple award schedules, schedules contract, federal supply schedules, VA schedules. Those are the most popular. All of those titles reference a federal contract, and that's all the terms mean is a federal contract. So don't get thrown off by those titles. It's still a federal contract. What makes the GSA contract stand out from other federal agency contracts are that their contracts are pre-negotiated and pre-priced for products and services. This type of contract is considered an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, and that means that an unlimited quantity of products or services can be delivered during an unlimited delivery time frame. GSA contracts are considered direct federal contracts. And having a direct federal contract allows you to be the prime contractor. So if you're performing subcontracting projects, then having a GSA contract can give you an opportunity to work at a different level as a prime contractor. They are long-term government-wide contracts that all federal government agencies and some state-level agencies can purchase from. The reason why it's considered a long-term contract is because it's awarded in five-year increments. So each time it's renewed 5 years at a time, and you're allowed up to three times to have it renewed. And that can amount up to 20 years of federal business for your company. Under their program, once you've been awarded a contract, you become part of their procurement database, which I'm going to talk about, go into a little more detail about later on in the call. The program was created to provide quick and easy steps for a contractor to make a sale and create repeat revenue for your business. The program also allows for more than one contractor with the same or similar product or service to be under the same schedule. That's how the term multiple award schedule came about. So, for example, if your company sells a specific type of black pen, you will not be the only company under the GSA schedule that's selling that black pen. So there's multiple, thus the term multiple award. So there's multiple companies under that, multiple companies who've been awarded a contract or a GSA contract under that particular schedule. Applying for a GSA contract is not a single application process. That's one of the main reasons why vendors hire consultants. It is a longer process than most may think. The time frame is from 3 to 9 months. And, you want to take your time, slow walk it. You want to rush your way through it. The quickest I've seen them get award is 3 months, but it normally takes probably about 3 to 9 months going back and forth and making modifications and so forth. Before you even jump into applying for a GSA contract, there are a few things that you need to consider. And the first is, why are you interested in the program? Another is, are you looking for a streamlined way to grow your business in the federal market? And, of course, do you currently do business with the government? If all of these are great reasons to pursue a GSA contract. If you're trying to create coming out of the subcontracting situation and become a prime contractor, these are great reasons to get a GSA contract. There are a lot of businesses out there that get a GSA contract without having a goal, and those are the businesses that fail in accumulating sales under their contract. So that's why I'm going over a few good reasons to kind of give you an idea as to why you need a GSA contract. And if you're going to get the contract, at least have a goal, because once you get it, you got to market it and get it out there and get some sales under your belt. So you don't want to pay large amounts of money to get a contract without having an alternative goal for going through all of this work. The last thing to consider is, how stable is your business? I ask that because one of the major requirements is financial, one of GSA's major requirements is financial stability. And financial stability for GSA means that you have accumulated at least $25,000 per year the prior 2 years of business. Although they are requiring $25,000, is that amount enough to keep your business operational? Think of it this way. Once you receive the award, let's imagine that you start getting several requests from the agency for your supplier service. This would mean that you require revenue to produce on those requests. So $25,000 may be sufficient for GSA to qualify you for a contract and get your foot in the door. But you need to also look out for yourself and be sure that that amount is sufficient to keep your business afloat until you begin to see your return on investment. And normally, once you get the GSA contract, if you're not a really, you know, an established business, and when I say established, to say 5 years or more, the return on investment is normally 24 to 48 months before you actually see your return on investment. If you're, you know, pushing forward and you actually have a plan and you're getting out there and getting things done. I've seen it done quicker, but it's dependent upon how serious you take it or how well of a business strategy that you have in marketing this particular contract for yourself. There are just a few practical, practical ideas to consider before pursuing a contract. Having a GSA contract is just like handling any other federal contract. It does not guarantee that you'll make money. In order to get the sale, it is the responsibility of you, the vendor, to work the program if you want to build business growth. And the way to do that is you need to have realistic ideas of why you want to pursue this program and commit to devising a business strategy that works. After you've figured out why you're interested in the GSA program, you need to find out if they can use what you sell. That's when you start your market research, and there are several ways of conducting your market research through so many different portals that's available to contractors for free, and it's so unfortunate that small businesses or businesses, period, don't know that. But I'm going to give you, I actually gave you quite a few little areas that you can go to in the workbook that I've already sent to you. But although the government buys just about every commodity, there are some commodities that either don't bring in a large amount of sales or are just not needed by the federal government. So you want to be sure that this will be the right fit for you. To get started, you should register with the Federal Procurement Data System, or FPDS, which is a government-wide research portal. And FPDS provides an up-to-date research of commodities procured by all federal agencies. It's available to the public, and registration is free to any vendor. To focus on a GSA-based research, you want to be able to determine what contracts suit your needs before submitting an actual application. A list of GSA schedules that are currently being offered along with the market research instructions have been emailed to you in your workbook. But if you're doing FPDS, now FPDS is government-wide. You can do your research for any of the federal agencies to find out, you know, which are top three agencies that sell your commodities. The GSA-based search is for if you're specifically interested in a GSA contract. Now, a GSA contract can be lucrative to your business if used properly, But one of the first steps in the schedules process is finding out if the program is the right fit for you. And to do that, you need to visit GSA eLibrary at gsaelibrary.gsa.gov. There are over 700 commodities under 15 categories that are available through GSA. Now, I'm not going to get into the step-by-step process today because, like I said earlier, you've already received the information by email, and you can do your own research at your leisure based on the instructions. Or if you need assistance, you can definitely give me a call, and we can go through, or I can do it for you and get it done and figure out where you are better suited in the federal market. Once you've done your research and made the decision on which schedule you would like to submit an offer for, you will be able to locate other contractors who currently have GSA contracts under that schedule as well. This can be a benefit to you because other GSA contract holders are considered your competition. So you want to find out who they are and what they offer. Researching your competition also gives you an idea of if you can meet or beat the price of the current GSA contract holders. So that the GSA website is a great way to do all types of research in getting out there for if you're a new business getting out there in the federal market. So as you can see, you haven't even applied for the contract, and there is quite a bit of work to be done before even looking at the application. Once you've gotten through your market research, you can then move towards determining if you meet their requirements to qualify. Now, GSA has strict requirements in order to qualify for a contract. The contractor requirements are upheld for every vendor that submits a proposal. So if you want to do business with the federal government, you need to complete the registration process. The first thing you need to do is get a DUNS number. And for some of you that don't know what a DUNS number is a 9-digit number that refers to your business, and the information is managed by Dun & Bradstreet. GSA does have access to this information, so they will be able to verify what you submit in your proposal. This number also is used to monitor your company's credit. GSA sometimes refers to a vendor Dun & Bradstreet report to determine if they're going to award your contract. You do not have to pay a fee to obtain a DUNS number, so it's free to any vendor that wants one. The next thing you need to do is get registered in System for Award Management, or SAM. In the past, contractors needed to go to three separate internet sites to register their business. Now, all of those sites are combined into one system, which is called SAM, and it's sort of a curse and a blessing at the same time. But SAM is used by the government to validate and store information about your business in support of any agency procurements that you receive. So after you complete the registration, you have to make sure that you keep your file updated each year in order to stay relevant or be able to obtain federal business from any federal agency, not only GSA, but any federal agency. Registering in SAM is for all federal agencies if you want to do business with them. And you can register at SAM for free, and you can go to www.sam.gov, although it is in your workbook, so if you want to go to the link, you don't have time, you don't have a pen to write it down, just refer to the workbook. Hopefully you already have a tax ID number. If not, you need to get one. And to get one immediately, you can call the IRS or visit them online and get an immediate tax ID number. This is also a free service. And once you've completed all of your registrations, you can move to the next step of the requirement process. Aside from the basic requirements, GSA has a set of requirements to qualify for a GSA contract. You must have maintained at least $25,000 in yearly sales for the previous 2 years of business. And this does not mean $25,000 combined. This means $25,000 in total sales for each separate year. So that means $25,000 in sales in 2013 and $25,000 in sales in 2012. That's the first requirement. The next one is you should have at least 2 consistent years of past performance within the labor category or the solicitation that you're interested in. And there, you know, there can be a break. There cannot be a break in the product or service or the past performance that you've provided. It has to be 2 consistent years, and it has to apply to the solicitation that you're applying for. The third requirement is that for vendors that offer products, if you offer products that they are required to be in compliance with the Trade Agreements Act and in some cases the Buy American Act. And what that means is any products that are manufactured out of the country, they have to be from one of the countries that are listed in that regulation. And you can find that regulation in the Federal Acquisition Regulation. The FAR clause is 52.225-5. The fourth requirement is all products and services offered must be commercially available. And that means all the items that you sell must be available to everyone who wants to purchase it. Now, if you want to do business with GSA, they will not accept any proposal offers until you can comply with everything that we've just talked about. So they are no exceptions with everything that we've just gone over. Now, getting a GSA contract is not mandatory for any contractor, but it definitely makes you more appealing to other federal agencies if you have one. All federal agencies welcome vendors with GSA contracts because it cuts down on a lot of red tape for the contracting officer to justify an award. All of the hard work is already done for them using a GSA contract. Like I said, it's pre-priced, it's pre-negotiated, so you can take that contract anywhere to any federal agency that you choose. Once you got the basics of what is needed to get the show on the road, you need to move in the direction of getting a clear understanding of the federal sector, or at least have someone to represent you who has a clear understanding of government protocols and language. The reason why I say that is because GSA contracts have a formal process, and that process is structured in accordance to the rules and regulations of the Federal Acquisition Regulation and its internal regulatory called the General Services Administration Acquisition Manual. So it's regulated by the FAR and the GSAM. So becoming familiar with government language and protocol can definitely make the procurement process a lot smoother for you. To get a feel for the language that's used, I suggest that you pull out the clauses that are listed in the solicitation of your interest and crack open the FAR or go refer to the GSAM and look up those clauses that they have listed in that solicitation to get a better understanding of what the agency is requiring of you in order to get the contract awarded. The FAR and the GSAM links are listed in your workbook, so no worries. How you benefit from the program is simple, and it's just straight to the point. Federal agencies worldwide purchase from GSA. Although they're not obligated to do so, many agencies use GSA's process of obtaining their product or service because it's streamlined. Currently, there is no other federal agencies that have a program of this magnitude. So that's why so many contractors are interested in getting their foot in the door and getting this GSA contract. It's an easier way, it's more streamlined way to get you some federal work as opposed to going out to other federal agencies. It's a little more difficult. For example, if you sell to the Department of Energy, then DOE is the only place that you can use your awarded contract. And that's not the case with the GSA contract. You can, once you get awarded your GSA contract, like as I said earlier, you can take that contract to DOE, Health and Human Services, wherever you see fits you and your business, and they'll accept the prices that you've already pre-priced and pre-negotiated on your GSA contract with, you know, no complications, no issues with it. They look forward to receiving GSA contract vendors. The use of this program works for all participants. It supplies the end user with the product or service while paying the contractor for supplying the product or service, and GSA gets a small cut bringing together the sale. The percentage that GSA receives from the contractor is 0.75, or, you know, once you work up your proposal offer, it, they like to do with point, I think it's 0.9995 or something like that. And this fee is referred to as an industrial funding fee. And you pay the fee on a quarterly basis based on the sales that you made for the previous 3 months. So you'll be paying it four times a year. You pay it quarterly, so you'll pay it four times a year based on the sales that you made for those previous 3 months. Since GSA has made their program into a one-stop shop for all federal agencies, you don't need to go through the process of changing any terms, conditions, or pricing. It's already done for you in your GSA contract. The whole process makes you able to close a federal deal while staying in compliance with federal rules and regulations. There are a lot of advantages of having a GSA contract, such as there's a short lead time that provides a streamlined process in getting products or services sold. You will have the flexibility to renew the contract up to 20 years. Like I said earlier, the contract is originally awarded in 5-year increments and can be renewed up to 3 times, which amounts to 20 years. You also can save a lot of extra time by setting rates and terms early in the game, and by doing that, that extra time can be directed to other needs within your business. You get repeat business to grow in the federal market, and you also have an easier access to teaming arrangements that you are in control of. Also, once you've been awarded a GSA contract, you are issued a GSA contract number, and it allows your business information to be submitted into their database called the GSA eLibrary, GSA Advantage, and GSA eBuy. This database is assessed by all federal agencies, so GSA will not be the only agency that will be privy to your federal contract. eLibrary is mainly focused on research. For example, if a federal agency is looking for widgets, and they want to see if a company has a GSA contract that sells widgets, they then go to eLibrary and look up the widgets, and if you sell widgets, your company name will come up. From that search, the contracting officer will be able to click on your particular contract and see all of your company information, such as company name, your address, your point of contact, the contract number, and your GSA price list. Your GSA price list will be the pricing that you offered in your proposal and GSA agreed upon in the proposal process. So this information is made available to the public as, you know, easy access to other federal agencies and other federal work. The next database, GSA Advantage, is just an online shopping portal of quick buys for federal government. So if a government agency goes in and they see that they need to buy something really quickly online, they just click on GSA Advantage, type in what they're looking for, and, you know, if the companies pop up and the price looks right, it's a done deal. The last database, GSA eByte, is a different type of database. eByte is a way for federal agencies to invite GSA contract holders to participate in their solicitations. Let's go back to the widgets as an example. Let's say widgets fall under GSA Schedule Number 58. The contracting officer will go to GSA eBuy, select Schedule 58 for widgets. Then a list of companies that fall under Schedule 58 that sell widgets will come up. The contracting officer has the option to select all candidates on the list or pick a select few based on their market research. Once the candidates have been selected, each one will receive an invitation to submit an offer in accordance to the requirement that's attached, or the requirement that they put out there for people to respond to. Now, the good thing about GSA eBuy is it's looked upon as a perk for GSA contract holders because it limits the competition to only GSA contract holders. This can save money and valuable time for both the agency and the contractor, and it gives your company an edge by building revenue and cutting down on the competition. GSA contracts are open-ended, which means that the solicitations never close. So whenever you're ready to submit a proposal, they're ready to review it. The time frame for the schedule process is anywhere from 3 to 9 months, as I've said. Having the contract does not mean that you're guaranteed cash flow. One of the great myths surrounding the GSA schedule is once you get the contract, large amounts of revenue will be available. That is correct. Revenue is available, but do you have the marketing strategy to attract it? That's the key. In 2012, GSA had over 19,000 contract holders, and only 40% of those vendors reported sales for that year. Can you imagine 60% of those vendors went through all of that paperwork, paid out all of that money to consultants, and didn't have a plan to market their product or service? You know, you can't just get the contract and let it sit. Although you do receive opportunities from GSA to reply, to get more work, you have to reply. You have to reply. That's the key. And I'm finding that vendors will get the contract and they do nothing with it, which is a shame because there is money out there. It's so sad. There's money out there for you. One of the main reasons why vendors do not accumulate sales is by not devising a sound marketing strategy. The marketing process doesn't start after you get the award. It starts at the moment that you contemplate applying for the contract. So once you start, you make a decision to apply for the contract. Let's get started with marketing it as well. Start letting people know you're out there. At that point, you should have performed your market intelligence to know and understand three things: what the top three agencies that buy your product or service are. You need to have an estimation of sales within your commodity for the last 3 years from the top three agencies, as well as who the point of contacts are at those agencies, and begin to let them know what you sell and that you're available to help and that you have this GSA contract or you're on your way getting your GSA contract and how you can help them solve their issue. A lot of government contractors looking for work are small businesses, and at least 23% of contract awards are extended to the small business owner. According to the Federal Procurement Data System, over $425 billion of purchases were made by the federal government in 2012. As you can see, there's no shortage of work to be performed for the federal government. Even though over $425 billion of procurements were processed in 2012, some federal agencies were still not able to even achieve their goals. The reason why is because many small businesses fail to get in the federal game believing there is no work available for them. This is not true. The federal government is looking for you. There is a need for your product or service, but business owners shy away from federal contracts based on false information or ideas about working with the government. Most government contracts are built specifically for the small to medium-sized business in order to help you grow. Now, don't get me wrong, it works for the large business as well. But let's face it, a vast majority of businesses are owned by small business owners. I'm a small business owner. Some businesses have the misconception that they're too small to do business with TSA, and that's so far from the truth. Get out and get yourself educated, and by you taking this teleclass is the first step. GSA works with all business sizes, especially small business. They only ask that you meet their requirements to qualify, so don't count yourself out. You need to get out and get a feel for the environment. I cannot stress enough how important it is to build a strong network in this field. I know business owners only want to focus on what your particular expertise is, but having a business involves you wearing many hats, and sometimes that includes networking. Attending bid matches, conferences, and social gatherings are a great way to meet the potential customers. A great place to start and locate government contract work events is at Federal Business Opportunities. As I've discussed earlier, one of the requirements to qualify for a GSA contract is past performance. Generally, past performance is past work that has been performed within the product or service that you're submitting an offer for. In order to provide proof of past performance to GSA, they require that you submit a past performance evaluation and or a PPE. A PPE is performed by Dun & Bradstreet for a fee. So let's say you got through the market research, you've found that the GSA contract has worked for you, you've gotten all your registrations done, and you're ready to get started. You come to me and say, Eileen, I need you to help me. Let's get started. What do I need to do? The first thing you'll need to do is we'll have to send off your information to Dun & Bradstreet and request a PPE. A PPE is performed by Dun & Bradstreet for a fee. The fee is $190, and you pay it to Dun & Bradstreet. To receive a completed PPE, you need to submit contact information for at least four clients that you have provided assistance to, and you want to make sure those clients are in good standing with you, like you did some great work for them. Make sure that you inform your clients that Dun & Bradstreet will be contacting them for a response, because a report will not be completed until at least four clients respond. And GSA wants to have that report. That's the first step. And from there, we'll start pulling some paperwork and pulling together a proposal that represents you in the best light. Getting a GSA contract or going through the GSA contract process is possible for a vendor to do, but as you can see, it's a lot of work. So that's why vendors come to me, to save them on the time and the pressure and the stress and not understanding, especially doing something like this. You know, you've never done it before. You don't want to step out and do it on your own, so they come to someone like me, a consultant, to get them started and get them on the road. It is possible for you to be able to do it on your own, but a lot of vendors don't want to do it. If you are in the process of getting into the GSA contract process, by all means, give me a call. Visit me at gsaproposalmaven.com or call me at 800-267-7640. Now, I want to answer some of the questions that were sent to me. Now, the first question is, does the work performed always have to be federal work? And my answer is no, it doesn't. As long as it relates to the descriptions listed in the GSA schedule specified and it has been performed for two or more consistent years, you can qualify for a GSA schedule. The next question is, am I able to have more than one GSA schedule? And the answer is yes. You may have more than one GSA schedule for other products and services, but you cannot put the same product or service into two separate schedules. Also, If you apply for another schedule in a different commodity, you'll have to reveal that in your proposal submission. The third question is a GSA contract guaranteed sales? And the answer is no. It is not a guaranteed sales. It's not a guaranteed requirement. It's just like any other federal contract. You have to market yourself. Once you're awarded your contract, you have the obligation to accumulate at least $25,000 within the first 2 years of the contract. So once you're awarded the contract, they give you 2 years to accumulate that $25,000. You don't, and then you have to accumulate $25,000 every year thereafter. So the first time in, they'll give you 2 years to get it going. And they'll also, you know, provide assistance, and as well as there's other assistance out there that could help you in marketing and getting the contract going and accumulating your sales. But if this amount is not accumulated, you could run the risk of having your contract terminated. So make a wise decision regarding the stability of your business and attempting the schedules program. It is up to you to grow the business, not the agency. Let's see. The fourth question is, am I able to mail my proposal submission? Unfortunately, mailed submissions are no longer accepted. That is the purpose of obtaining the digital certificate. All proposal submissions are electronically submitted, and you have to register at the site to obtain a digital certificate. When you register, you need to be sure that the computer that you register on will be the computer that you're going to be submitting your proposal with, because that's the only computer that will be recognized for your proposal submission. Or if you use a consultant, if you come to me, I already have a digital certificate, so you don't have to worry about, you know, getting your certificate. Your proposal submission will be submitted through my certificate, and you know that excludes you from the cost of the $200 fee. So, the next question is, will you have more classes regarding GSA schedules and preparation? Yes, I am. The GSA schedules courses will be online as well as teleclasses, and they'll be available beginning in June. But I'm also going to be giving the Understanding GSA schedules every Wednesday until the middle of May. So, you know, I see a lot of vendors now are coming to me and asking about the GSA contract, and they want to get out and you know, step into a new arena. So I'll be doing it every Wednesday at 2:00. Next question is, I have provided work for two consistent years, but not under my company name. Can I use that as past performance? Yes, you can. You are able to substitute work performed just as long as it can be verified, and if that work lasts for two consistent years. So it has to be two consistent years, and there are substitutions that are accepted, and it has to be related to the solicitation that you're going to be applying to. The next one is, we already asked that one. Number 8, the next one is, what is a SIN? Okay, a SIN is a special item number. For example, GSA has Schedule 70, and under Schedule 70 are numbers listed in chronological order that goes into detail, and it describes the type of work required in order to qualify for that particular contract. So it may read 70-1, 70-2, 70-3, and so on. For each of those numbers listed, there will be a description of the work that fits that particular category. Hopefully, I hope that I explained that so you can understand it. And now that concludes the Understanding GSA schedules. For more help on understanding GSA solicitations and how they're managed, you can refer to FAR 8.4 for guidance, or you can contact me at my office if you need proposal assistance by visiting gsaproposalmaven.com or contacting me at 800-267-7640. Thank you, guys, and I want you to have a great rest of the day.